Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, SOG, The Secret Wars of America's Commandos in Vietnam by John L. Plaster, examines the covert world of the Studies and Observations Group, a highly classified U.S. special operations organization that ran cross-border missions during the Vietnam War. Written by a former SOG veteran, the book frames how small teams of Americans and indigenous partners conducted reconnaissance, interdiction, prisoner snatches, and intelligence gathering in places officially denied on maps and in briefings. Plaster positions these operations as a blend of improvisation and rigorous skill, where success depended on stealth, speed, and the ability to survive overwhelming odds. The narrative emphasizes the practical realities of special warfare, including the planning cycle, insertion and extraction methods, communications challenges, and the constant risk posed by enemy tracking units. While grounded in the era, the book also speaks to the development of modern special operations culture, highlighting how secrecy shaped recognition, accountability, and historical memory. It offers readers a window into a hidden dimension of the conflict that influenced strategy far beyond the teams on the ground. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a hidden organization and a war inside the war. A central topic is what SOG was and why it existed as a compartmented instrument of policy. The book presents SOG as an organization tasked with missions that conventional forces could not openly acknowledge, particularly cross-border operations tied to intelligence collection and disruption of enemy logistics. This secrecy shaped everything: how missions were authorized, how results were reported, and how casualties were explained. The teams operated in a political environment where plausible deniability was as important as tactical success, so operators carried altered gear, unmarked equipment, and cover stories that could withstand scrutiny if captured. Plaster also highlights how interagency and inter-service dynamics influenced tasking, resourcing, and credit, with covert actions often competing with conventional priorities. The reader gains a sense of how strategy, bureaucracy, and classified decision-making created a parallel battlefield. This context explains why these missions remained poorly understood for decades and why many participants received delayed or limited recognition. By framing SOG as a war inside the war, the book clarifies how small units could be strategically significant while remaining officially invisible, and how the demands of secrecy complicated both operations and the historical record. Secondly, reconnaissance teams and the reality of small unit survival. Another major topic is the structure and employment of reconnaissance teams and the lived experience of operating deep in contested terrain. Plaster describes the logic of small footprints, few men, minimal signatures, and a focus on observation and reporting rather than decisive engagements. Yet the book underscores the paradox that these teams frequently fought for their lives once detected, often facing superior numbers and skilled enemy trackers. The narrative emphasizes fieldcraft fundamentals, such as movement discipline, camouflage, noise and light control, and the use of terrain to break contact. It also draws attention to the human side of endurance under extreme stress, including fatigue, fear management, and rapid decision-making when plans collapse. The indigenous and regional partners who accompanied Americans are portrayed as essential to team performance, providing language skills, local knowledge, and combat effectiveness. Readers also see how personal competence mattered, because in remote areas there was no margin for sloppy preparation or complacency. The topic highlights how success was often defined not by dramatic victories, but by bringing back information, keeping the team intact, and getting extracted before the enemy could mass forces. Thirdly, mission planning, intelligence, and the art of getting in and out. The book devotes significant attention to the operational process, selecting targets, building intelligence pictures, and planning insertions and extractions, Plaster conveys that covert missions demanded careful coordination between teams, air assets, and command elements, with planning shaped by weather, terrain, enemy patterns, and the availability of aircraft. The reader learns why timing mattered, how last-minute changes could save or doom a mission, and how communications discipline affected survivability. A recurring theme is the fragility of plans in the face of uncertain intelligence. Teams often entered areas where maps were outdated, enemy dispositions shifted quickly, and the ground truth contradicted assumptions. This required contingency planning, including rally points, emergency extraction procedures, and options for calling in support. The topic also explores how mission objectives ranged from reconnaissance to direct action, but even the most aggressive tasking depended on reliable infiltration and extraction. The book highlights how aviation, from helicopters to fixed-wing support, enabled small teams to operate far beyond conventional front lines, while also becoming a critical vulnerability when aircraft were delayed, diverted, or shot at. The interplay of planning and improvisation is presented as a defining skill of SOG operations. Fourthly, fire support, air power, and the edge of escalation. A fourth topic is the role of supporting fires and the constant balancing act between survival and political constraint. Plaster illustrates how reconnaissance teams relied on air power, gunships, and sometimes artillery-like effects to break contact, cover extractions, and deter pursuit. Calling for support, however, was not simply a tactical decision. Because missions could occur in denied areas, the use of overt firepower risked exposure, escalation, or diplomatic fallout. The book explores the practical challenges of coordinating strikes under pressure, including identification of friendly positions, marking targets in dense jungle, and communicating with aircraft while evading enemy fire. It also conveys the psychological intensity of hearing enemy forces closing in while waiting for supporting assets to arrive. This topic shows how technological advantages could narrow the odds but never eliminate risk, since the enemy adapted with anti-aircraft weapons, ambush tactics, and rapid pursuit. The narrative emphasizes that success often hinged on combining disciplined ground movement with precisely timed support, and that mistakes in coordination could be catastrophic. By focusing on fire support as both lifeline and liability, the book demonstrates how covert warfare lived on the boundary between tactical necessity and strategic sensitivity. Lastly, secrecy, ethics, and the long shadow of unacknowledged service. Beyond combat narratives, the book addresses the consequences of secrecy for the people who fought these missions and for how history is remembered. Plaster presents a world where operators could not speak openly about their work, even to family, and where many actions remained classified long after the war. This affected awards, public recognition, and the ability to correct misconceptions about the conflict. The topic also touches on ethical and legal tensions inherent in covert operations, including cross-border incursions, intelligence priorities, and the risks to captured personnel. The book depicts how secrecy created a culture of tight bonding within teams while also imposing emotional burdens, since trauma and loss were often processed without public acknowledgement. Readers see how veterans sought belated recognition and accurate historical documentation once restrictions eased. This discussion broadens the book from a tactical account to a study of how nations wage hidden wars and what they owe those who carry them out. It also raises questions about accountability and narrative control, showing that classified operations can be both strategically valuable and difficult to evaluate publicly. The long shadow of unacknowledged service becomes a lens for understanding why SOG remains compelling to readers interested in special operations and the politics of war. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a serious, ground-level view of special operations in the Vietnam era, including military history enthusiasts, veterans and families seeking context, and anyone interested in how covert action intersects with national strategy. It can benefit a reader's life by sharpening appreciation for leadership under pressure, teamwork across cultural lines, and the importance of preparation, discipline, and adaptability when conditions are uncertain. Even outside a military setting, the lessons about risk management, contingency thinking, and staying calm when plans fail translate to demanding professions and personal challenges. Compared to many Vietnam titles that focus on large unit battles or political debates, SOG stands out for its emphasis on small team operations, mission mechanics, and the reality of operating where success could not be publicly acknowledged. The authorial perspective, informed by firsthand experience, adds credibility to the portrayal of procedures, fear, and split-second decisions, while still framing the broader organizational and strategic context. For buyers comparing similar books on special operations, this one is worth owning, because it concentrates on a unique and long-obscured slice of the war, offering both operational detail and the human cost of secrecy in a single, cohesive narrative. If you would like to support John L. Factiv, Plaster, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.